Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
A Super Bowl champion and one of the grittier players that played the game over the past couple of decades, and Mike Vrabel. What is your impression of Coach Vrabel so far?
Yeah, he reached out to me and we got on the phone. He's been awesome. Obviously, a guy who's done it and played in the league and won a Super Bowl, you have a respect to of what he's done and seen what he's done. And I think the biggest thing is he's been a head coach and he knows what it's like. So excited to get up to New England and get things going.
You're listening to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Drake May on Sirius XM Radio. It's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, Boston Sports Original, New England Sports Original. We're coming to you live at 93.7 in Boston here. Also down the Cape, 96.3. Providence, 103.7, 105.5 in Worcester, Springfield. We're up in New Hampshire. We're up in Vermont. We're up in Maine. We're all over the place. And in case you're not in any of those places I just listed, you can also listen to us on the app. Just download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker. Just say play 93.7 WEEI. And if you missed any part of the show or want to go back and listen to something, heard those prop bets I was giving you from the Sharps in Vegas after they just unveiled their big menu, you can go back and do that. Have it delivered to your phone every single day. Just subscribe to the Christian Arcan Show podcast on Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. And that's how you do that. All right. All the housekeeping's out of the way. Let's tackle what Drake May was saying there. Because Drake May, while not a bomb thrower by any means, and certainly not a why guy, if you're not familiar with that term, Mac Jones was a why guy. We're going to run this play, Mac. Well, why are we doing this? Don't ask me why. Just do it. He wanted to know why things were happening. He wanted to be involved on that level. I think Drake May probably wants to know why things are happening, but he's not going to ask the coaches. He's going to say yes, sir. He's going to say no, sir. He's going to say whatever you say, sir. And that's going to be that. And I think that he showed that in his first year. He was not at any point, even when things were very, very bad. I mean, it was a bad season all around, and there were some very clearly bad decisions being made by the coaching staff, by the offensive coordinator, by everybody, really. I mean, it was not a good season. No one really covered themselves in glory last year. Drake May, I think, came out of it looking like a guy with a high upside. Christian Gonzalez had a good season. Marcus Jones had a couple good punt returns. But other than that, I mean, there really wasn't much. Oh, Brandon Schooler, he was good, too, on kickoffs and kick coverage and things like that. But that's it. I mean, that's it. Other than that, everything was bad. And he kind of acknowledged that there a little bit. Can you play the last part of that clip, Thomas, if you would? The last part of that answer? Where he talks about the main thing about Mike Vrabel, the main thing he's looking forward to?
Of what he's done and seeing what he's done. And I think the biggest thing is he's been a head coach and he knows what it's like. So excited to get up to New England and get things going.
The biggest thing is that he's been a head coach and he knows what it's like. Now, some of you out there may choose not to look at that as a shot at Gerard Mayo. I am not one of you people. I am not one of those people. I think that there's no way not to look at it that way. He said that's the biggest thing is that he's been a head coach before. Unlike the last guy who did not know what he was doing. Drake May is not going to come out and say that, but he's going to say what he said. And I think reading between the lines there, it's pretty clear. Gerard Mayo, who, by the way, still waiting to hear his side of the story, still waiting to hear how he describes those last couple weeks and what was expected of him or what he thought was expected of him, why he ended up getting fired in the dramatic fashion that he did. It was a pretty theatrical firing, all things considered. They waited with Bill Belichick. They didn't want to fire him on Black Monday, right? They say, we're not just going to treat you like every other coach out there. We'll wait a couple of days and we'll make it look like a mutual parting of ways, right? We respect you, Bill. That's what we're going to do. Gerard Mayo, 90 minutes after the game was over, while the reporters were still filing their game stories, while his family was still up in the box. Like, I mean, that was dramatic. Theatrical, even. That was a theatrical firing. And why? Why make that such a big deal? Excuse me. Almost tossed some cookies there. Why make that such a big deal? why have that be the way that you go about moving on from that head coach? It seemed like a message at the time, right? It seemed like a message was being delivered. And I don't think that Drake May had a ton of input into that message. I don't. But I do wonder, and I asked Chris Mason about this. He said he doesn't think that May is really involved in anything that's going on right now. But I do wonder if, and it's fair to wonder this, if the Crafts or somebody went up to Drake May and said, what do you think of Coach Mayo? What do you think of this season? What do you think about his leadership? What do you think about the way you two interacted? Like, how did that all go? You're an important part of this team, Drake. You're going to be here, we hope, for a long, long time, for many, many years. We care about you, and we value your opinion. What did you think about Gerard Mayo as a head coach? And I wonder what he said. Because I think that question probably got asked. Maybe not directly like that, but on some level, you know, some kind of exit interview type thing. Because he didn't talk to the media. Drake May hasn't said a word to anybody, you know, with a microphone anyway, or with a notebook, since before that last game. He didn't talk after that game. He didn't talk after Mayo got fired. He didn't talk after Vrabel got hired. He hasn't talked until today. And the season's been over for, like, what, a month for the Patriots? The season's been over for a long time now, all right? They haven't played a game in a while. And that is something that I just, you know, I'm not trying to say that May got Mayo fired. I don't think that that happened, but I do wonder if there was any input solicited from him. Because there should have been, right? I mean, this guy is the franchise. This guy's going to be the future of your franchise. Shouldn't he have some kind of input into who the next head coach is or if they should stick with the head coach that they have? And by the way, if Drake May said to them, yeah, you know, I don't think Gerard knows what he's doing. I don't begrudge him for that. I don't begrudge him for that at all. Mayo didn't know what he was doing. Mayo was in a boat with no motor, just floating around in the ocean. I mean, he had no clue what was going on. It was hard to watch. And Kraft basically came out and said it. He said, this guy was not ready for this job that I gave him, and that's my fault. And you know what, Robert? You're right. But there was more to it than that. If it was just as simple as that, then you wait till Black Friday and you fire him with all the other coaches so that his name doesn't stand out the way that it did. Instead, he's fired right after the game with a statement ready to go, drafted up, ready to hit send on. Ugh. I wonder what's going to happen there. I don't think that he'll be able to sue the team or anything. I don't think that Mayo is going to be able to successfully like file a lawsuit against Robert Kraft or the NFL or the Patriots or anything like that. I just don't think so. The only way he could is if he has some airtight evidence that they told him to lose that game at the end of the season. Brian Flores, his lawsuit with the Dolphins, is going to be handled by the NFL. Roger Goodell's bringing in an arbiter, whatever it is.
You had it right the first time.
Did I? Okay, good. To settle it, which both sides are upset by the way. The NFL wanted to take it to court, and Flores is mad that that Goodell is the one who's assigning the arbitrator because, you know, obviously you know why. We know how those generally go. When the NFL investigates themselves, they usually clear themselves of any wrongdoing. It's the way that that generally works. And so I wonder. I wonder if that changing of the guard, if Drake May had something to do with it. Now, I think Mike Vrabel is the type of personality and the type of head coach and authority figure that can work well with a guy like Drake May. I think Drake May is a good soldier. I think that Drake May is going to probably thrive off of that type of environment. I also wonder, though, about Josh McDaniels. Because one thing that people have said over and over and over again is that Drake May is nothing like Mac Jones, right? I hear that all the time. Anytime I ever make any kind of comparison between Drake May and Mac Jones, I get shouted down by scores of Patriots fans who all tell me, no, Arcan, they're nothing alike. Don't compare the two. It's ridiculous to compare the two. Ridiculous to compare the two. The two rookie quarterbacks who both wear number 10 and who both made the Pro Bowls in their rookie season. Impossible to compare them. I understand what you mean when you say that, because I do think Drake May is much, much better, naturally more talented, and just a better overall player than Mac Jones could ever be. But With that being said, Mac Jones thrived with Josh McDaniels, right? If Drake May is so different from Mac Jones, do we know that's going to be a good fit? Because everyone keeps saying, well, Josh McDaniels, look what he did with Mac Jones. He was so great with Mac Jones. Yeah, right, he was. But I thought Drake May was totally different from Mac Jones. I thought he was a completely different personality, different kind of guy. I mean, he may be a better, more talented quarterback, but is it all just the talent? I don't think it was the talent. Mac Jones wasn't that talented. And Josh McDaniels got a Pro Bowl season out of him. They worked well together. They had a good rapport. They had a good thing going. Is that going to be the same with Drake May? I wonder about that. I think with Vrabel it will be. With Josh, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think it would be. I have no reason to think that Drake May is going to be a pain in the ass and that he's going to give everybody a hard time and be, you know, uncoachable or anything like that. I don't think that he's that kind of player. But I do think everybody's just rushing to this conclusion of, yeah, well, you know, he was so good with Mac Jones. Okay, well, I was told by every Patriots fan who had the foresight to call in and talk about it that these two guys are nothing alike. So if they're nothing alike, then how are you so convinced that he's also going to be very good and a good mentor and good coach for Drake May? I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think Alex Van Pelt did a good job with him. And if Alex Van Pelt can do a good job with him, then Josh McDaniels probably can too. I'm not saying that this is a guarantee. I just think the people are basically calling it a guarantee the other way, and I think that's a little premature to say that. With Drake May and Mike Vrabel, there is going to be, I think, a bit of ball busting going on. Probably more so than he ever got with Mayo. I don't think Mayo was a big ball buster. Maybe he was, but it seemed like more like he wanted to be one of the guys. Mike Vrabel, get on your case. That's what all his ex-players all said. They'd come in for film session. He would highlight all the star players and all the things they did wrong. Very Belichickian, really, if you think about it. And I think he learned a lot from Bill Belichick. Not necessarily as, you know, coaching under him. But as a player, you pick things up from your coaches. Then you become a head coach. You remember the things your head coach told you. He's not part of the Belichick coaching tree. But I do think that there's an influence there, for sure. And I wonder how that's going to go with Drake May. You know, Mike Vrabel, I think they'll be fine. But I do wonder if he starts really going in on number 10 and making an example out of him in front of the team, in front of everybody during film session or whatever it is, and doing it with his heart in the right place, as if to say, look, Drake, you know, when Tom Brady was here, he used to get this same routine, okay? This is the way it is. This is the way we do it here in New England. We expect a lot out of our quarterback. We expect a lot out of our star players. You're our star player. You're our best player, and we need you to be better, and here's why. Look at all these mistakes that you made, that type of thing. I mean, we've heard from lots of people that that's the way that it used to be in New England and that it wasn't so much like that last year. I think that's something they're going to go back to, because I think Mike Vrabel has that kind of, you know, that kind of style. And I wonder how Drake's going to take it. I do, because Drake May makes mistakes. You know, Drake May is a mistake maker. Now, I hope that he dials it back this year, but he threw a ton of interceptions this past year. He had a bunch of plays that should have been, you know, the aim for the tuba player, and instead he just hucked it up there. And he didn't take great care of the ball either, or himself for that matter. Sliding too late, getting, you know, head taken off a couple of times. He's already got, you know, a couple concussion protocol stays there. This is an important year for Drake May. I hope that this marriage works. I really do. And not just between May and Vrabel, but the whole thing. You gotta understand that while Jerod Mayo and Alex Van Pelt weren't a great duo or anything, certainly not Mayo, they were the authority figures in charge for the first NFL season of Drake May, your franchise quarterback. Certainly more so Van Pelt than Mayo, but he was the guy. He was the head coach, and May had to come out and talk about him. So he was used to, at the very least, used to the way things were done in that first year. It's going to be different this year. And maybe it'll be better. I think it will be. I don't think there's any way it could be worse. But we also said that same thing about Bill O'Brien, didn't we? There's no way Bill O'Brien, as an offensive coordinator, can be worse than Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Turns out it was worse. It was considerably worse. Now, the quarterback was still Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, so that probably had a lot more to do with it than Bill O'Brien. But, you know, I'm hesitant to get into that type of bravado. Not with a team that wins four games 2 years in a row. That's a team that's on its back. You got to get up off your back first. Then you can start. Then you can start talking about good things down the road. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to more of your Bruins thoughts as well. Is it time to blow up this roster? Is it time to blow up the Bruins? I think, yeah, it probably is. We'll get to that. We'll get to your phone calls. And we got the lightning round coming up at 8:30. That's all right after Thomas gets you caught up on what's trending.
We're back to Christian Arcan on WEEI.
Hellebuck protecting the post. Now Peek to the near side. Koepke shoots. Hellebuck the save. 3 seconds left. And that's going to do it. So the Jets with 4 unanswered goals after the Bruins had tied it up at 2 early in the third period roll on to a 6-2 victory over the Bruins.
It's the Christian Arcan Show here at WEEI. We got the lightning round coming your way in about 10 minutes. We got clickbait coming your way at 8:45. It is an explosive clickbait tonight. Looking forward to that. In the meantime, let's go to your phones here. The Bruins on the verge of, I think, hitting the detonation button right now. I don't know if Don Sweeney has the fortitude to do it or if he has the want to do it. That could be not just blowing up the team, but that could be blowing up his GM career, honestly. I mean, that, you know, if you go that direction, if you're Don Sweeney and you go that direction and you know who your bosses are and how much they value just making the playoffs, blowing up the team, which may be the right way to go here, could end up being a very dangerous proposition for him. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Tim's in the car. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Christian. How's it going?
Hey,
you know, who wouldn't be scared to blow up the team is my man Sean Thornton down there for the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
What's his role down there with that team?
I know he's in the front office. His actual role, hold on, let me look it up here. Sean Thornton is I'm not sure, but I know he's down there. I know he's got something going on with the Panthers. He is on the executive staff. That's the most I can tell you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I just think if they put together some sort of package like Mertelov and Fabian Lysell, you bring back Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm. Connor McDavid.
And then,
Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Connor McDavid for what? You can trade the whole roster. Come on. Connor McDavid's not getting traded, I don't think. I don't really need Sean Thornton back here either. I mean, like, Sean Thornton was... It's the same thing with Chara. Like, you keep bringing back these old Bruins if that's all you're doing. Like, if that's really all you're trying to do. You're never really going to progress much, I don't think. You got to start thinking a little bit outside the box here. Otherwise, you're just hanging on to the past. And I'm sorry, but the past with these guys was kind of underwhelming. It was. It was fun. I mean, they made the playoffs a lot, but that group should have won more than one cup. We all agree with that, don't we? Is there anybody out there who thinks otherwise? And to hold on so tightly. I mean, these were fan favorites, obviously. Guys like Bergeron. You know, everybody in the alternative broadcast there with Razor. Bergeron and Tuca and, you know, everybody else. Good players. Fun players. Guys I enjoyed watching. Guys who are being deified now, though, as if they were this dynasty, and they just weren't. And it's like, you know, I understand it. If you want to hold on to these glory. Like, I understand it more with the Patriots than I do with the Bruins. I don't think either team is right to think this way. But with the Patriots, at the very least, I get it. You were the class of the NFL for 2 decades. The class. Everybody looked up to you. Everybody wanted to do things the way you did. The Bruins? The Bruins won a cup when they got a hot goalie, and then they kind of came up short and choked a bunch of times over the last 15 years. And everybody's holding on to these guys and the memory of these guys like they won 3 cups in a row or something. Like they were, you know, the Blackhawks, or that they were, you know, one of these, the Edmonton Oilers in the 80s and 90s or something like that. They weren't. They never were. And yet they get that treatment, and I don't know. It's strange. 617-779-7937. Greg is in Lincoln. Hey, Greg. Hi, Greg. Greg's not ready. Let's go to JP and MP, JP in North Providence. What's up, buddy?
Hey, I was told I got to go quick. I'll go quick. Well, we know what Jones thinks of Patrice Bergeron, number one. Mm-hmm. Goodbye, Marchand. Blow it up. I've had it with him. I've had it with Sweeney. Quick prop that would be outstanding, a bet. Who goes with Kendrick Lamar? I say Katy Perry. Swift loses her mind, comes down, starts brawling at halftime. I would pay to see that, and I can. The missus doesn't know that you're leaving an hour early tonight, right?
No.
Perfect. You're in every Cumbie's, 7-Eleven, Yard House, Ned Devine's, whatever, and get home on time, but get that hour to yourself.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. That was a Cumbie's? Cumbie's 7-Eleven.
And Ned Devine's.
Ned Devine's, which, by the way, I worked at the bar under Ned Devine's for many, many years. The Ames Plow Tavern, a proud alumnus of the Ames Plow. So I'm very familiar with Ned Devine's. I was one time, this is true. I was at Ned Devine's once. It was after my shift at the Plow, and I go upstairs to Ned Devine's. And as you know, if you've ever been up there, it's three huge rooms. It's like the entire top floor of that middle marketplace building. It goes way back, like three massive rooms. A bar room, one room with the tables and stuff like that. Then they have this one big room with a stage in the very back. There's another room in the middle. I've been up there for a bar. I used to go up there when they did the Indy 500, the Great American Race. Like, that was a good time up there at Ned Devine's. I haven't been in a while. I should go back. I have some friends who still work there. But anyway, I'm up there, and I was up there with some coworkers, and we got separated because we were in the big room, and there was a ton of people up there. And there were these three guys who were just so wasted, and they were banging into people and just, you know, turning around, squaring up with people. And I was in line, waiting to get a beer. And all of a sudden, two of these guys were sort of, you know, going back and forth. And one of them just backed right into me. And I was like, hey, man, like, careful. And he turns around. He, like, slapped my hands away. He's like, whoa, what are you going to do about it? I was like, buddy, come on. And his friends came over and all that. And I'm sitting there going, oh, boy, like, this is going to be a thing. And I'm going to get kicked out. And we're all going to get, you know, thrown out onto the cobblestones. And this is going to suck. And the Ned Devine staff came over. And when I tell you, it was the most professional handling of a situation like that I've ever seen from a bar staff or like a club staff ever in my life. They came over. They immediately, I don't think they knew me, but they came over. They immediately recognized what was going on. They removed the three guys who were being jackasses, and they told me, hey, you know what? We'll get you a beer. Sorry that happened, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, wow, that was not what I expected. What I was expecting was that we were all going to get thrown out and that these three guys were going to jump me out on the Faneuil Hall cobblestones. And that did not happen. And I think I don't know if Ned's is still like that, but that's how it used to be. And I was very impressed by that back in my younger days. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Let's try Greg and Lincoln again. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm here this time. And, okay. You know, I'm talking about what we should name the new hockey club down in Utah. Uh-huh. And now I'm just thinking we should name it the Ned Devine Bouncers because that's pretty badass.
It was badass. They were very badass. Yeah, Ned Devine's, they had this guy as a bouncer who was like a gold gloves boxer. The guy was about 5'6" and did not look like a bouncer. He looked like a busboy. But if anybody messed with him, he'd have them on the ground unconscious in like a matter of seconds. The guy was a beast. Anyway.
That's the Providence Boston bouncer like criteria.
It is. Definitely standard. Is. Yeah. What do you got, Greg?
Yeah. Listen, renaming the hockey club here. You got to go with the most badass name. I don't understand like that. That's step one. Your name needs to be badass. You can't be the Washington Nationals. You can't be the Washington Commanders. Like, wow, Washington blew it twice. Kraken, pretty badass. Mammoth, that sucks. Like, you need something vicious. You know, Sharks, Willie Beeman.
I like the Yeti, Greg. I like the Yeti. I thought the Yeti was a good name. The Utah Yeti. But somehow that got shot down. I guess, I don't know, it's probably like Yeti Coolers or something. It was like, nah, sorry, we own Yeti, even though it's, you know. It's not a real thing. Or is it? Keith Spearsy. I've never seen a Yeti. But I thought that would have been a cool name. The Utah Yeti. It even sounds cool. Utah Yeti. It's like the same word almost. Like that would have been a good name. Instead, they're going with the Utah Scar Scratch or something like that? What's the name of that? The mountain range or whatever that they're going to name it after? It sucks. The Utah Mammoth I don't like either. If it was, like, plural, multiple mammoths, like, you're one mammoth, the whole team is one mammoth, that sucks. Yeah, not good. Not a good situation there. The Utah Jazz, at the very least, is a funny name because, you know, who's playing jazz in Utah? It's not really what they're known for. It used to be the New Orleans Jazz, and then the team moved to Utah, so they kept the name, which was stupid. Same with the Lakers. Lakers were the Minneapolis Lakers because there's lakes in Minneapolis. They moved to Los Angeles. They keep the name. There's no lakes in L.A., but they keep the name anyway. But yeah, when you come up with a new name on your own like that, when you're like trying to come up with a new name, they're really blowing it there in Utah. I think Yeti would have been good. 617-779-7937. John is in the car. Hi, John.
I thought they got rid of the mountain range and announced today they were putting the Outlaws back in.
They're doing the Outlaws? Is that right? I didn't know that.
I didn't think they announced the name yet. I thought they just said they're taking out the mountain range name, and it's either the Yeti, the Outlaws, or there was a third one.
You're absolutely right. Utah Hockey Club has removed the Wasatch, that's what it was, from consideration for a new team name, which is right. They should have. That sucks. And they replaced it with the Utah Outlaws. Okay.
Well, the state of Utah doesn't scream nasty name needed to me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's me.
As I said last night, to be an outlaw in Utah, all you have to do is like smoke a cigarette. that'll get you like 5 to 10 years in Utah.
Put a swinging wood door on your house and you're an outlaw.
Basically, yeah.
The Bruins have one guy that you keep, and that's 88.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else can go. But the problem is they sign everybody that they have to these incredibly insane deals, and nobody wants them. So if you trade these guys, you're going to have to eat their money anyway, or at least a good portion of it.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have anybody wants. And look, I don't ever begrudge. Sweeney went for it a couple of years ago, and he should have, because he had the best team by far, and the team blew it. The general manager didn't blew it. The team blew it. He put them in a place where they should have won the Stanley Cup.
Agreed.
And the team let them down. So you can't have it both ways and blame Sweeney that there's no draft. Now, he doesn't have a drafting history that's very good, but you can't blame him for going for it and not having draft capital now. The problem is, you have all these. I wouldn't have signed Swayman. You tell me the last time a top five goalie has won the Stanley Cup. You don't need the top goalie to win the Stanley Cup. All these other goalies are run-of-the-mill average goalies, and they build the defense. They even went out this year and got the top two free agents that were on the market.
Yep.
The free agents are not playing well. This has nothing to do with the general manager, whether people want to blame him or not. You can blame him on the drafting, but as far as signing talent and identifying trade deadline deals, Sweeney's hit the ball out of the park more often than he hasn't.
Yeah.
And people just get lost on one site.
Yeah, John, you're right about that. I gave you 2 minutes, so I'm going to cut you off there. We got the lightning round to get to in just a second as well. But I agree with you. I think Don Sweeney, I mean, they're chanting fire Sweeney at these games. But Don Sweeney, you're right. The drafting has not been great. And those free agents that he signed ended up being bad signings. But no one thought that at the time. Everybody liked those signings. It was the top free agent center and one of the top defensemen that were out there on the market. And he went out and he was aggressive and he got them both. I celebrated those signings. I think most people did. And you should have. Turns out, not that great, but they tried. You know, they certainly tried. And his trade deadline moves have been very, very good. He's given up a lot of draft picks to get these guys and bring them in here. He doesn't end up keeping a lot of them. You know, Bertuzzi and Orloff and Hathaway and all those guys over the years. I mean, they've come and gone. But, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not putting this all at the feet of Don Sweeney. No way. But he has drafted terribly. And that's a big reason why you're sort of in this spot right now. You're not giving contracts to your young guys and giving them the keys to the castle. You have to go out there and sign the Lindholms and the Zadorovs of the world. And that can be a risky proposition. That can go this way that it's going right now. And that's unfortunate. I mean, that's sort of where things stand right now. But going in a new direction is what you do when you have a GM who's not good at drafting and you're going to need to start going deep into that draft, you know, when you're picking in the top 10 or maybe the top 5, depending on just how much they blow it up or don't blow it up this year, then is Sweeney the guy you want rebuilding the team? No, it's as simple as that. And that's not really Sweeney's fault, but here we are. And it is his fault in the sense that the drafts weren't good. But you know what I mean? Like, the fact that they didn't win in this window here these last couple of years, you can't blame that on Don Sweeney. I agree with you 100%. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. It's 8:30, just a little bit after here on this Friday night. So let's get to the lightning round.
The lightning round.
All right, Thomas, what do we got tonight in the lightning round?
So we're going to start off to a clip Brian just ran and grabbed to us because it happened during the Celtics game.
Okay.
Eddie House with an all-time moment on the broadcast,
what
he said.
Oh, okay.
Did you enjoy playing on the road, Eddie?
I loved it. I loved playing on the road. I was able to get away from my ex-wife.
Murray rolls it in with the left hand.
Okay. Well, Eddie, maybe that's why she's your ex-wife. That's an interesting way. That's immediately where his mind went, right away. Was that Drew and Eddie? Is Eddie doing the game?
Drew Carter and Eddie House.
And yeah. So Scal's not there. Scal's not on the broadcast tonight. Okay. I have the game on in here, but I can't hear it. So interesting. Interesting. Eddie House. Big divorce guy. I didn't know that. I don't know much about his personal life, really. I know he had a kid who was playing in the tournament last year for Arizona, I want to say. And when they lost, I remember Drew Carter chirped him, and Eddie House got pissed. You remember that? He was like, "Don't you? Next time I see you, it's like on site." Drew was like, "Oh, what are you talking about, Eddie?" And I was like, "Yeah, no."
Was that the whole thing with Eddie House's background on a Zoom?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was wearing like the Arizona jersey or something right. like that, and Carter chirped him about. I don't even remember exactly what he said, but Eddie did not take that kindly. He did not. I remember Scal had to like get in between him. He's like, "All right, guys, settle down, everyone. don't need to get too angry here." So yeah, Eddie likes being on the road. Likes getting away from the ex-wife. Well, you know, whatever it takes, I guess. That's Celtics game right now. It's a close one here in the first quarter. A very shorthanded New Orleans Pelicans team. But, yeah, if you're trying to get away from the New Orleans, that's a good place to go, boy, I'll tell you. I was talking about my bachelor party and how I was in New Orleans. Someone on the text line said Montreal is a better place for a bachelor party. I've been to two bachelor parties in Montreal, and they were awesome. Montreal is great for bachelor parties. It definitely is. But I give the nod to New Orleans. All right, what else we got?
So we're going to stay in the NBA, Arcan, for a little bit. And okay. We're going to talk about an old friend who's gotten himself in some trouble. Terry Rozier.
I thought you were going to say Big Baby Davis.
No, I did
did you see his selfie from jail the other day?
Yeah, with all the cellmates thinking he was real tough.
Yeah.
Can't be tough with the nickname Big Baby, although he could eat me.
I'm not stepping to him, man.
No, Arcan, I'm 5'10".
Big Baby used to hang out in the North End. He'd go to, like, restaurants in the North End, and he would sit there and order, like, an entire feast for himself. He would go to, like, you know, Luca or these places in the North End. He'd sit there at a table for one. And he would eat like it was 10 people were sitting at the table with him. That's what I heard anyway. Anyway, go ahead. What about Terry Rozier?
I feel like we have to rename you like the most connected man in the city. Every time something is brought up about a restaurant, a bar, you know the place, Arcane.
Listen, I've lived here a long time. My family was in the restaurant business. And, you know, I worked in the industry for many, many years. It's radio, you know. When I was coming up in radio, you guys know you don't make a lot of money. So I had to do other jobs. I had to bartend. I had to do all this stuff. And, you get to meet a lot of people. It's a lot more of a social job, I find, than, like, this is. Because I love you guys, but I'm mostly just sitting here talking to you. We got people listening in their cars and everything like that. But in terms of, like, interaction, I interact with the callers. I interact with you guys. When you're at a bar or a restaurant, I mean, you're interacting with everybody. You got to. I mean, if you want to make money, you got to really turn on the charts. So it's a thing. You know, I'm still very connected with that part of the Boston subculture. But anyway, Terry Rozier.
So Terry Rozier is now being investigated for being involved in the Jaunte Porter gambling scheme.
Yes.
Showed a clip in the game. It's from 2023 where early in the first quarter, he took a jump shot and came down limping. He was out for the rest of the game. That is the game that the NBA and the investigators are pointing to. Why do players still gamble on their own sports? There's three other major sports leagues to go gamble on.
Right. This, I don't necessarily think was Terry Rozier gambling on himself, but I think that he or somebody connected with the team told people, hey, just so you know, I'm leaving the game in the first quarter. I think. I mean, the feds are investigating, and they're probably on to something here. I don't think they would just announce all this if they didn't have something concrete. That being said, we don't know for sure it was Terry Rozier. Like, think about that information. Who would know that Terry Rozier had a bum leg or a bum foot and that there's only a chance that he'd only play one quarter and that, you know, it's probably smart to bet the unders if you're going to do that. Obviously, Terry Rozier knows that. But who else knows that? Trainers know that. Team doctors know that. Coaches, assistant coaches, teammates, et cetera. Ball boy. I mean, you know, like, I don't know exactly everybody, but I'd say there's probably more people than just Terry Rozier that could get that information out to people who want to make those type of bets. Now, what got everybody's attention was the irregular betting and all the unders that everybody was betting on Terry Rozier, because it's like, well, this is unusual. People don't usually go this hard on Terry Rozier info. Now, intel comes out, okay? That happens all the time. It happens in football all the time. Any little piece of intel that some wise guy gets is going to sway the market, is going to sway the betting trends. All of that happens. It's a real thing for sure. But when they think it might be coming from a player, that's when they have to get serious about it. Now, we'll see how this all plays out with Porter. he was very clearly guilty. I mean, he pled guilty to it. That was, you know, 100%. They had him dead to rights. I don't think they have that with Rozier yet, and based on the information that we've gotten so far, it doesn't seem like quite the same open and shut case that it was with Porter, but it's the same kind of investigation, and I feel like they probably know more than I do, and that is probably not good for Scary Terry. So I don't know why guys do this. I think with Rozier in his case, the knock on him coming out of college was that he hung out with a bad crowd, you know, that he had some bad guys in his crew or whatever, and maybe it's just as simple as that. You know, hey, you're in the NBA. Let's make some money, you know. Give me something to bet on. Well, you know, my foot's hurting, so I may only play one quarter, so you want to make some money and really hammer my unders this game because I'm going to be out after the first quarter. So it could be as simple as that.
Stay on the NBA for one last lightning round story.
Okay.
Came the fourth quarter. The little guy is back in the NBA G League.
Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah's back, huh?
He's in the NBA G League, and in two games, in the first game he scored 40 points, and the second game he scored 30 points, so he's averaging 35 points in his first two games. And tweeted out today, he feels like he's playing NBA 2K My Career in real life in the G League. Should he be back in the actual league, Arcan?
I like Isaiah Thomas, so it pains me to say this, but no. Bronny James is putting up numbers in the G League. Is the G League trash, by the way? Like, is Bronny James is averaging like 25 points per game or whatever it is in the G League? Does that mean the G League sucks? Because I just watched Bronny James the other day go 0-for-5 in 15 minutes, and it was the worst I've ever seen. He got into the end of that Celtics game, which, ugh. That's how you know you're in trouble, Celtics, when Bronny James is in there at the end of the game. And it's not because you're blowing them out. It's because they're blowing you out. You know, the human victory cigar there for the Lakers. You know, he says, I'm playing my career. How often do you think he actually does that? I bet you Isaiah Thomas, these past couple of years since he's like been basically exiled from the NBA, I bet he's done a lot of my careers on NBA 2K. And listen, I liked him a lot. I thought he was really fun to watch, and I thought that he kept this franchise afloat for a couple of years where if he wasn't here, and he really came out of nowhere. I mean, he wasn't a big-time scorer like this in Sacramento or these other places that he played. He came here, and he really fit in. It was really a nice fit. He was an exciting player. He really inspired the fans. But when it was over, it was over. When he had that hip injury, it was over for him. He just couldn't really score like that at the NBA level anymore. And the biggest problem is that he's 5 foot nothing, and that, you know, they just hunt him out on defense, and he was a liability on the floor on the defensive end. And that's why he doesn't get NBA looks anymore. And maybe he'll get a 10-day contract somewhere or something like that. You know, I kind of hope he does. I do like him, and I do feel for the way things ended with him. But, man, it's just every year with this. It's starting to be like, remember like when Terrell Owens retired? And then he kept, like, you know, working out in his driveway, and he's like, hey, you know, I can come back and play. And everyone's like, no, T.O., you can't. We remember you at the end with Buffalo, and it wasn't very good, and we know you're not good anymore. And, yes, you're still good against random people or whatever in the Arena League or whatever it is that you're doing, but you're not ready to come back and play in the NFL. That time is over. It's the same thing with Isaiah Thomas. As much as it pains me to say it, I wish he'd kind of just stop. Or maybe get into, like, coaching or something, but just stop trying to play again. It's sad. I think it's kind of sad. There you go. That's the lightning round here on this Friday night. We have a couple of minutes left. We'll come back and wrap things up with clickbait.
Continues. The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
WEEI. New England
Sports Original.
Covering Boston sports and beyond. We're back to Christian Arcand on WEEI. It's time for clickbait. This is the Christian Arcand Show on WEEI.
All right, time for clickbait. There's some actual bad news in the world right now. It's not what we're going to do here in clickbait, but in case you didn't notice, there's another plane crash today. Just a couple hours ago, a plane crashed in Pennsylvania. Near Philly, near like a mall in Philly. It was a Learjet. That's two bad plane crashes this week. And yeah, if you see the video, it's certainly looks like it looks like a bomb went off. So that's not what this is going to be about, unfortunately. We don't get into serious topics here, but I did want to at least put it out there that happened. This story that we are going to talk about also happened in Pennsylvania, and it's a lot lighter. Let's put it that way. Go ahead, Thomas.
This is what's left after the tank on the toilet shattered, leaving behind sharp, jagged edges of porcelain. It happened Monday morning at the City County Building on the fifth floor, not far from the mayor's offices. 11 investigates obtained the emergency dispatch call.
Along with EMS and the sheriff's units, are requesting a city officer respond to the fifth floor in the mayor's office area. They have a 65-year-old male with a gash to his leg after having a toilet explode.
All right, stop her right there. Stop her right there. I've heard of this before. I've heard of this phenomenon of these exploding toilets. I don't know what causes it. Sometimes it's a backup in the sewer. Sometimes it's something else. This was in the mayor's office. Sharp, jagged edges of porcelain. A 67-year-old male gashed up his leg. He's lucky it was just his leg that got gashed up there, by the way. I feel like over these first 2 weeks of the show, the audience has learned about some of my weird phobias. One of them being sinkholes. I'm very afraid of sinkholes. I don't think that's an irrational fear either. I mean, a sinkhole opening up, you fall through the ground and you don't know when you're going to stop falling and you don't know what you're going to land on. That's terrifying to me. I'm terrified of sinkholes. I also, and this is a little less rational, am afraid of dead birds. When the bird flu thing came out, it was a thing for me. I don't like dead animals. I'm worried that they're going to reanimate and come back to life. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's the way it is. I'm also, and I didn't really think about this now, but I am also afraid of a toilet exploding while I'm sitting on it and leaving jagged shards of porcelain flying through the air or digging into my legs or worse, my bits. That's right up there with the sinkhole. I'd even put that a level above the dead bird thing because deep down I know that the dead bird's not going to come back to life. I know that. But I just keep thinking, well, what if it does? I'd say above the dead bird and below the sinkhole is the exploding toilet on my list of phobias. Go ahead, Dom.
I personally would be so upset if I'm just trying to sit down, scroll some TikTok, do my business, and then the seat literally falls out from underneath you and explodes.
Yeah.
I'd be suing literally everybody I could.
Yeah, probably. Do we have more from the story here?
Spokesperson for the mayor's office telling 11 Investigates the employee was injured when a plumbing fixture failed on the toilet. The man reportedly suffered a cut to his leg but managed to walk to the ambulance for treatment. Quote, the employee is currently recovering from minor, non-life-threatening injuries and is expected to be released from the hospital today, the city said in an email statement.
We're not taking care of our own house.
City Councilman Anthony Coghill says he's relieved the employee wasn't seriously injured. For months now, 11 Investigates has been reporting on the poor conditions at City Hall, municipal courts, and other city-owned facilities, from peeling paint to broken urinals
to exploding toilets,
elevators that don't work, and the police and fire training academy that didn't have heat for 4 months.
Whoa.
Instructors forced to set up space heaters just to stay warm because the boiler was broken. It was fixed earlier this month, just in time for those single-digit temperatures. Coghill, who's also a contractor, says...
Okay, you can stop it right there. Sounds like the Pittsburgh city infrastructure is really struggling right now. Got all these government buildings, they got no heat. You got urinals that don't work, they got elevators that don't work, everybody's going up and down the stairs, and on top of all that, in the mayor's office, the toilets are exploding. That's tough. You know, people say Boston, the politicians here are all this, they're all that. At the very least, their toilets aren't exploding at City Hall. So you got that going for you at the very least. I would say this old man, this 65-year-old man, I guess that's an old man, said he walked down to the ambulance himself. I would have been limping. I would have had a little limp going. I would have been like, ooh, you know what? Might need the wheelchair, guys. I might need one of those neck braces. like I'm Chris Moltisanti. I might need a little help here. I'm not. When they ask me, how are you doing? Do you need medical attention? I'm saying, yes, I do. Even if I don't. That's a city building that happened in. I know he's probably an employee of the city. It doesn't matter. You gotta game the system a little bit there, guy. Especially when there was an explosion so close to your bare genitals. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? Something explodes with sharp pieces of porcelain that close to your stuff. You know, like that's traumatic. I would be like, you know, even if I'm not really all that hurt, the mental toll that would take on me, I'd be scared to ever sit on a toilet again. How am I supposed to go on my daily life? I'm scared of the toilet. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live a normal life now? They said that the cause of this was a faulty or failed plumbing fixture. What could that mean? What does that mean? You know anything about plumbing?
Not much, but I have to imagine there was just like some sort of backup and all the pressure just built up.
Yeah.
That's what would cause the explosion, pressure. And it just got to a reaching point, and it just exploded.
When a toilet explodes,
I picture there being a lot of fecal matter involved, right? Just like, everywhere, you know, just like splattered all over the wall. I don't know. I saw a picture of this thing, and you can see the jacked up toilet, but it doesn't look like there was a lot of human debris, I guess is the best way to put it, like scattered around everywhere. So I do wonder if the plumbing fixture, whatever it is they're talking about. I've installed a couple of toilets before. And I know you got to have that like wax ring down at the bottom and you got to, you know, do certain things, but I'm not sure what would cause it to blow up like that. Anyway, I'm sure they'll get to the bottom of it in Pittsburgh. It's right as soon as they fix the elevator and get the space heaters going and everything else. That's all the time I have here tonight. I want to say a big thanks back there to Thomas and to Brian. Great job for you guys. I'm back on Sunday at 9 a.m. I'll talk to you that. The Sunday Mass is back. The Arcan Sunday Mass, back for a weekend. So I'll talk to you then. Then we're back Monday at 6 o'clock right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Enjoy your night. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. See you.